The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from NC Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article for today's episode is titled, Bag Secured, Money Lessons from Cardi B. As a kid growing up in the Bronx, New York, Cardi B had a childhood that was, by her own account, regular, degular, schmegular. However, she knew from an early age that she wanted a different life. Her goal was to retire from her exotic dancing by age 25 and build her wealth through real estate. Her plans may have changed just a tad, but thanks to her bold personality, unapologetic ambition, and solid work ethic, Cardi B's career is truly a masterclass in leveling up. She capitalized on her Insta fame. Cardi B created a name and brand for herself by utilizing Vine and Instagram. Her following enjoyed her funny one-liners and money advice. When she reached 500,000 followers, she hired a manager to help her monetize her talent, starting with hosting club events. She started young. Stripping was a stepping stone for Cardi. Her plan was to save enough to buy a home, rent it out, and buy another. By 22, she says, she had saved $35,000 in singles. She doesn't limit herself. She's a hit maker, but Cardi is diversifying her checks. She recently appeared as a judge on Netflix's Rhythm and Flow, and despite 16-hour days filming the box office smash Hustlers, she signed up to star in the upcoming Fast and Furious movie. She values financial independence. She credits her determination to become independently wealthy with saving her life because it gave her the fiscal power to move away from an abusive partner. She intends to remain on top of her finances as a way to protect her daughter's future. She is setting major records. Her debut album was not yet out when she became the second female rap artist to reach number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart. This milestone came 19 years after Lauryn Hill did it in 1998. She lives within her means. Instead of paying top dollar for a high-rise apartment in Manhattan, Cardi reportedly spends $3,000 a month for a condo in nearby Edgewater, New Jersey. She refused to let motherhood halt her career. She announced her pregnancy during her Saturday Night Live debut, then continued to perform and tour for as long as she was able. Although she had to cancel appearances as she neared her due date, she twerked her way through her anticipated spot at Coachella, pregnant belly and all. She's winning the endorsement game. In addition to her reported multi-million-dollar Atlantic Records deal, she has brand partnerships to keep her money stacked. She has worked with Pepsi and Amazon's Alexa, and she signed deals with Reebok and Fashion Nova. She says the latter offered her $20,000 a month. Her debut line with the clothing company sold out. Her second collection made $1 million in sales in just one day. The next article is featuring Regina King. Serving looks for hours at a time came to be taxing, but Regina King is focused, her gaze steady on the lens on the third Friday of October 4 days after Hollywood premiered of HBO's Watchmen and 2 days shy of the series launch, she posed up inside LA's Milk Studios on Cahunga Boulevard as an R&B playlist flows from the speakers. Her call time was 8 a.m. Now, as 5 o'clock approaches and the shoot winds down, King gathers up her team to pop a few bottles. It's been a good day. Aside from a visit to Watchmen's Atlanta set this past June and a 15-minute sit-down at the New York City-based press junket 5 months later, this one-on-one is the most time we've had to talk. Translation: Regina King stays working and busy. Her journey exemplifies what is possible when you master your craft and stay the course. Stated simply, she is a legend. When it's time for our interview, gone on the bold gold accessories, custom hair pieces, and shimmery gowns, she dressed down in a gray jumpsuit and wedge boots, bamboo hoops, and a patterned head wrap tied around her head. The only remains of the day are her lashes and manicure. As King settles in, she takes a deep breath and a sip from her glass of rosé. She's relaxed and ready to roll. Work, 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 work. King, 48 years old, attended the 2019 Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards in February to present a statue to her If Beale Street Could Talk co-star, Kiki Layne. The backstage was hectic, but the energy shifted upon her arrival. She was up for her first Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for Beale Street. A month before, she'd taken home the Golden Globe, and now the Oscar buzz was near deafening. But King is no diva. After saying her hellos and giving a few hugs, she turned her attention to her script and made a few last-minute edits. Then she waited in the wings for her introduction. She's an actress, producer, and director, host Kelly Rowland began. She's also a 2015 Essence Black Women in Hollywood honoree, a Golden Globe winner, 3-time Emmy winner, and newly minted Academy Award nominee. Even before her name was spoken, the ballroom at the Beverly Wilshire erupted. The entire audience was on its feet. Once at the podium, King paused for a beat to take in the love. Like the accolades coming her way, it was unstinging and well-deserved. 3 days later, inside the Dolby Theater, when she took home that Academy Award, the standing ovation was once again thunderous. King smiles now as she recalls the moments leading up to her big win. I was thinking, okay, it's happening. It's happening. So what's your face going to be? Then I looked over at my mom, who is the epitome of grace, and I just knew I'd have the right face, regardless of the outcome. Her Oscar season was made even sweeter by the fact that she was already on her next project, bringing to life Angela Abar, a.k.a. Sister Knight, her multi-mask-wearing, kick-ass character on Watchmen. It was a gift to have something else that I was passionate about, because at the end of the day, it comes down to the work and the art, she says. I still needed to go run my lines, you know? King had previously collaborated with the creator and the executive producer of the comic book turned series, Damon Lindelof of The Leftovers. I have this rule about not working with the same actors project to project, but even in the writer's room, we were accidentally referring to the character as Regina instead of Angela. He says, she's so much more than number one on the call sheet. She's a natural leader and an inspiration. Costa Yahya II speaks highly of King, too. It was very easy to build a rapport with Regina, he says. From our first chemistry read, she lit up the room with her charm and charisma. She makes the work really easy. In the 34 years since she made her primetime debut as the sitcom 227's resident teen, Brenda Jenkins King has been a constant presence on film and television screens. Her body of work not only spans decades, but also defies genres, which is evident by the diversity of her fan base. There are those who know her from If Beale Street Could Talk, and from her Emmy-winning performances in American Crime in 7 Seconds. Others fondly remember her 1991 film debut in Boys in the Hood, as well as her turns in Jerry Maguire, Ray, The Boondocks, Friday, 24, and on and on. Meanwhile, millennials and Generation Zers grew up watching her in a rom-com sequels like Miss Congeniality 2 and Legally Blonde 2. The actress herself marvels at the range of her roles. About 5 or 6 years ago, I kept hearing people ask, "Are you Rhonda?" And I was like, "Who's Rhonda?" says King with a laugh. She fesses up to not always remembering her character names. Then I realized they were talking about Rhonda from A Cinderella Story, she continues. Did she ever imagine her career would have this kind of longevity? She doesn't answer the question directly. I would say that I've tried to listen to the voice inside, she says. Instead, luckily, from a very early age, I was able to understand that when things don't feel quite right, that was probably not the role for me. It's no accident that the regal actress is named Regina. My father did that on purpose, she says, of being crowned with a royal moniker, along with her younger sister, Raina, whose name also means queen. When Raina was born, I realized we both were queens, kings, and as in chess, in which the queen has all the power, king moves freely in every direction. She knows that Hollywood, like the board game, is all about strategy, and she plays her queen position flawlessly, taking nothing for granted. In 2015, she was nominated for and won her first Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress for American Crime. That first award is nice and cozy, says King, who went on to win again for American Crime in 2016 and for 7 Seconds in 2018. While awards are certainly not the measure of an artist's ability, the fact that she had been overlooked for top honors in the years before is baffling. Undeterred, she kept pushing, and in 2010, she directed and co-starred in the music video for Jaheim's Finding My Way Back. That was just the start of her stepping behind the camera. It goes back to working with Jaron Keith on 227. She says of her early inspiration to one day take on the role of director. He directed most of the episodes, and he always was clear and respectful. In March 2013, the first, directed by Regina King, appeared in the credits of an episode of the primetime drama Southland, on which she starred for 5 seasons. Since then, King's directorial credits have continued to hit hard, from Insecure, This Is Us, and Greenleaf, to Scandal, Being Mary Jane, and the television movie Let the Church Say Amen, which she co-produced with her sister Raina through their company, Royal Ties. And King is still growing as an artist. Last spring, she signed a first look deal with Netflix, and she's currently gearing up for her feature film directorial debut, One Night in Miami, an adaptation of the 2013 play by Kemp Powers. It's a love letter to black men, King says of the movie, which is set in 1964 and centers on a young Cassie Clay. I'm feeling really great about that. When she accepted the Star Power Award at Black Girls Rock in September and received yet another standing ovation, her son, Ian, was by her side cheering her on. She's proud of the 23-year-old, too, as he's finding his way. I know there are moments when I have to let him fall, she says. I've watched him get up, dust off his knees, and move on, which is such a beautiful reminder that God's got him. That faith may be why King opened her speech that night with lyrics from William Murphy's song, It's Working. She reprises the song now, smiling. This is my season for grace, for favor, she sings, then says, I've planted my seeds, and I've been toiling and fertilizing them and surrounding myself with the right people. She pauses to take one last sip of her rosé. Now it's all blooming, she adds, and I am grateful for it. The next article is The Sky's the Limit. Justin Skye walks into the room quietly. Her natural curls have been thrown into a messy top knot, and there's not a touch of makeup on her face. Yet all heads turn as she passes by. The up-and-coming R&B singer, who first hit the scene as a teenager when her song Everyday Living landed on BET's 106 in Park back in 2013, has presence. Aside from her gorgeous chocolate-hued skin, enviable pouty full lips, and mesmerizing eyes, she radiates a certain magnetism and the kind of swag that allows her to transform from laid-back, fresh face to total bombshell once she gets in front of a camera. She's a photographer's dream, moving her body with the grace and poise of a trained dancer, nailing shot after shot and shining bright in metallic. Skye is also nimbly evolving as an artist. Her latest project, a 6-song EP titled Bear With Me, which was debuted this past summer, is truly close to her heart. It's a nod to her Jamaican heritage as well as an expression of freedom she's discovered by simply doing exactly what she wants with her sound. Throughout my career, a lot of people told me to stay away from the Caribbean and Afrobeat style because it didn't start getting popular until recently, she says. But now that I'm an independent, she signed with 90th this past year, I'm just trusting my instincts, which I should have done before. But, you know, things happen in their own time. Along with shedding her signature purple tresses, the 24-year-old Brooklyn native has discovered a new version of herself. Known to be woke, in 2017, she took a knee while singing the national anthem at a Nets game. She used to shy away from wearing her curls at photo shoots and in shows. A part of it was just that I started to lose confidence in my hair products, she says. I started doing protective styles. I remember the first time I got a weave when I was 19. Fast forward 5 years, and Skye not only stands firm in her natural locks, but she's also proving that she is not a one-trick beauty. Her collaboration with H&M, which launched in November, includes 17 pieces of ready-to-wear apparel, footwear, and accessories. Her joint venture, Justin Skye for the Lip Bar, has created an Island Guile collection. The line, which offers a variety of beauty must-haves, from smudge-proof eyeliner to brown nude shimmer gloss, drops this winter. But while Skye is fearlessly taking on new challenges, everything always comes back to the music. It is, after all, her first love, and she says it feels good to be in the driver's seat. It's really about coming up with the creative approach, coming up with the sound and direction I want to go in with people I choose to work with, she says as she nods along to one of her songs, Bulletproof, Bulletproof, playing in the background. You can get caught up in going into the studio with people you don't know, who don't know anything about you, and just making songs. I got caught up in that cycle for so long. Now I'm on a journey of truly understanding what I want to share with the world and how I want to be seen. Before, I was putting that trust in everyone else, but I feel like with this new music, it's fully just me. The Art of Style is the title of the next article. Curator of Cool, Kimberly Drew, left her dream gig at the Met to further explore her talents in literature, fashion, and black art. A vision in the season's arresting holiday looks, the Jersey girl talks, owning our culture. Last November, Kimberly Drew gave up on a coveted role as social media manager at the Metropolitan Museum of Art to begin a freelance career. On a mission to reconnect with her passions, Drew focused on her love of writing. The new venture turned out to be the challenge she craved as her profile of Alicia Keys landed the cover of Glamour magazine, and her loving homage to Lupita Nyong'o graced the cover of Vanity Fair. A year later, she's making a name as one of the most revolutionary black art curators and activists, and as a creative writer headed straight to your favorite author list with her first book. This is What I Know About Art, out in June. She will also release The Black Futures Project, co-edited with New York Times Magazine writer Jenna Wortham, in October. When I left my job, my goal was to make it 1 year as a freelancer, she reflects. It was a moment of vulnerability because I loved working at the Met, and I never want to get lost in what it meant to leave. Known in the social media world as @MuseumMammy, a nod to her work with art institutions and her determination to reclaim the historically derogatory tag given to black women or female caregivers. The young visionary was raised in Orange, New Jersey, which nurtured her artistically. There is just so much around us, whether it's the Montclair Art Museum, the Met, or the Liberty Science Center, she says. Exposure to creative spaces and the support of her family gave Drew the encouragement to pursue art as a career. In 2011, while majoring in art history and African American studies at Smith College, she started her blog, Black Contemporary Art, on Tumblr, solidifying her advocacy of black artists. Black art is not rare, Drew notes. I was miseducated to think that there aren't black artists or opportunities to see their work, and that's so untrue. Today, whether Drew is modeling for Chromat's New York Fashion Week show, doing an Instagram takeover for Prada, designing for Reebok, or focusing on her books, her mission is the same. I think about black people with every opportunity I get, she explains. There's a level of excellence I'll bring because I know my success relates to the success of other people. The next article is titled Love Behind the Lens. Imagine spotting a potential boo in church looking all delicious, but you don't know what to say, so you don't approach him. You do, however, get his email address from a mutual friend. And then you ask your crush, wait for it, if he has any nursing textbooks. While your game may be non-existent, you did shoot your shout. He made me look like a stalker, Anika Frith says of her new husband, Joshua Frith, who she emailed over and over again about random textbooks, hoping to get his attention. Though neither she nor Joshua was in college at the time, Anika had indeed studied nursing. However, Joshua had been an engineering major, so books about patient care weren't on his bookshelf. Eventually, he put two and two together, realized she was into him, and asked her out. Bob Marley's Is This Love was the soundtrack to a captivating first date at Coney Island. The couple had now been married for 8 years and has a daughter, Tori, 4. They also make up the international wedding photo duo known as Joshua Duane Photography. If you follow at @Joshua_Duane on Instagram, you know that they don't just take pictures. They beautifully chronicle love stories, from engagement shoots to the big day and through maternity. As well as working stateside, the Friths have covered nuptials in Greece, Cuba, and many other countries. Their company recently celebrated 10 years, a blessing given their untraditional path to entrepreneurship. Joshua, a former business analyst, grew up as a creative kid in Brooklyn. I knew that I enjoyed storytelling, but it wasn't until 2008 when a friend hit me up to shoot her wedding that I knew I wanted to document love, he says. His Jamaican-born wife's entry into the business was vastly different. With Joshua traveling so much for work, Anika decided to tag along so they could spend time together. Hanging out at shoots quickly morphed into assisting and being an integral part of the process. Josh has been patient and willing to teach me what I needed to learn, says Anika. And her aesthetic matched his creative vision seamlessly. I lean heavily on his expertise, knowledge, and sense of style, Joshua says. I'm confident enough in my ability to know that I'd be successful without her, but I don't know how good I'd be without her. Anika is literally the secret sauce. The colors of love is description of pictures that they have taken. And there's also pictures titled In Rain or Shine. Another quote, I'm confident enough in my ability to know that I'd be successful without her, but I don't know how good I'd be without her. Anika is literally the secret sauce. That's from Joshua Frith. Well, we've run out of time today. And I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Ebony. And we hope that you will return to listen again. I am Avery Lewis, reading for the NC Reading Service. The content of this program is readily available as a podcast by visiting our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Have a happy and safe day, and have a